Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, our next guest obviously is someone that everybody in Houston and around the country, both in the United States and Canada, know from Major League Soccer. He has just written a book with Brendan Dunlop. He is Dwayne De Rosario. The name of the book, D-Row, My Life. And Dwayne joins us now. Dwayne, thanks very much for coming on the show.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
All right, the first thing I'm going to say here is you got to do a deep dive when you're doing a book like this that's personal. What was this like doing this book from an emotional standpoint? Because you do talk a lot about your parents, your family, your upbringing, and it's some pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, definitely was very therapeutic, was emotional, you know, and I didn't realize that, you know, when I was writing this book or telling my story, you know, shout out to Brendan Dunlop, who did a good job of capturing what I was saying and put it into words so eloquently. But, you know, while I'm telling my story, I didn't realize I was holding on to so many things, you know, for so long. And while I was talking, I know countless of times we just had to stop and it's like, I need like couple of minutes, or I need to revisit this conversation another day. So it definitely put me in a very vulnerable position. And I just wanted to tell my story authentically, like how it unfolded, and unapologetic. I did it honest, my truth. I told my life with my truth, and I didn't want him to shelter away from what I was trying to have the reader capture and envision. And I believe, I know there's other young aspiring athletes or individuals that are going through very similar life altering or life changing experience. And if they could read the book and say, wow, that happened and he still was able to overcome, or this happened, he still was able to overcome, then definitely I could too, then for sure, that's the whole. How can I say? That's the whole, you know, purpose of the book is to really inspire, motivate, but also be honest.
Well, what makes it interesting for me is, look, we all know Dwayne De Rosario, the MLS Cup winner. We know the goals of the year, the All Stars, the Best 11, the Canada's greatest goal scorer. We know all this. Mm-hmm. But when it gets personal like this, this brings it to another level, and then that makes you appreciate all the things you achieved, both on and off the field. I want you to talk about Scarborough in Canada, because your parents moved from Guyana. Yep. They come to an area that's a pretty rough area, and you describe this in the book. Talk a little bit about the upbringing and how you made the choices you made.
Yeah, I mean, you know, coming to Toronto as an immigrant from the West Indies around that time, you're in two areas. Either you're in Jane and Finch or you're in Scarborough, if you didn't have the financial support. And obviously we didn't have the financial support. We landed in Scarborough, very much like New York, Brooklyn, very, you know, diverse, multicultural. And the kids in my community, you know, that grew up with all different type of ethnicities, very heavily West Indian populated, Guyanese influenced, especially around Kenny and Eglinton, which at one point they used to call it All Boys Town, which is a community in Georgetown in Guyana. So they called it All Boys Town because so many Guyanese migrated in that area. My grandma was down the street. My uncle's a couple buildings down. My other uncle was a couple buildings down. So everybody was like in one melting pot. So with that comes, you know, a lot of adversity, a lot of challenges, you know, a lot of new world experiences that my uncles and my dad was having moving to Toronto. And, you know, we were just young kids growing up, living in the community, running around with the rest of the kids, getting into trouble with the rest of the kids, playing tag, you know, and then of course, as you get older, those idle times become a little bit more, how can I say, life altering, bigger decisions being made. How do you make money? How can we make money early? You start to see things a little differently. Certain things start to become a little more clearer. And then of course my parents split when I was five, and that was devastating having to deal with that. And then we end up moving in with my aunt who again lived in another community, a metro housing community. And, you know, just the struggles that come with that in those environments. There's anger. There's poverty. There's you know, drug abuse. There's physical abuse. There's frustrations. There's but through all that, there's still strong community. People look out for each other, right? People in those communities look out for each other. You know, there's a great sense of pride amongst those community where there's some hardworking people that work 3-4 jobs. You know, but of course, the parents that work 3-4 jobs in a single parent household, that means, you know, you probably come in about 8-9 o'clock at night. That means as a young child growing up, you finish school at 3:30. You have a lot of time on your hands with no supervision. And that's when things start to get, you know, tough on you know, your decision, your ego. You know, do I hang with my friends or do I go do my homework? Well, how many 12, 11, 9, 10 year olds are going to stay and say, okay, I'm going to do work? Right, there's a few, but majority of them are going to go hang out with their friends and get into what everybody else is getting into, no different than we were doing. And so that was the Scarborough experience.
He's Dwayne De Rosario. The book is Dero, My Life. Dwayne, where can it be purchased, by the way? I'm sure like on Amazon or
you could get it on most major bookstores, Amazon, Indigo, okay. Barnes & Nobles. You can get it through my website, DwayneDeRozario.com.
Get it there. That's the best place to go, DwayneDeRozario.com, because you won't forget
DwayneDeRozario.com.
You won't forget it. Dero, My Life. You did write in the book that you said those who have strong family support make it out of those situations. And what I really loved about this was there's some incredible messaging in here, the ups and downs of your career in life. And what most people gravitate to is, you know, all the successes you've had, right? You had a situation that was pretty mind-blowing in this book that says, you know, you were forced as a young child to choose either your father or your mother. This had to be an incredibly difficult situation, probably one you can never shake.
Yeah, and well, that was one of those experiences that when I was expressing to the writer, Brendan Dunlap, those are one of those experiences where it probably took a few months just to get that one piece out of me. And it was a difficult decision to make at a young age. You know, my parents didn't really want to go the court route and all that in that direction. So they said, hey, let the kids decide who they want to be with. Right. And that's how it kind of unfolded. And, you know, I watched my older brothers choose my dad, and I followed suit. And it was difficult on my mom. And while I was telling the story, you know, it made me appreciate my mother more and what she went through, you know, and what she had to deal with, you know, because really my father, you know, God rest his soul, he was at fault, you know. He wasn't. But it was with the relationship. The reason why I say it wasn't because, you know, he's coming to a new world, a new life. You know, he only knew one way of living. My dad lived a very tough upbringing. He was sent to Jamaica to try to get straightened out. That didn't work. He was sent to Trinidad. They put him in a convent there to try to straighten him out. That definitely didn't work. And then when he came back to Guyana, man said, listen, you know what? You're going to end up dead or something's going to happen. So let's go to Canada, the Great White North. Let's go there and try to make the best. There's job opportunities opening up. And that's what happened. So I could just imagine coming over there and, you know, it's a different world here, right? Compared to what it was there. But nonetheless, not to get away from your question, it was a difficult choice for not only myself, but for my brothers to make. And after that, they even went to court and tried to handle it there. But at that time, we already kind of made up our mind as three young men. And that, like I said, it must have been very difficult for my mom to have to stomach that and deal with that.
Was your mom's name Carol Ann?
Yes.
I just wanted to make sure that we gave your mom, and Dwayne's father's name was John Anthony de Rosario. And yeah, he takes a deep dive into the book about the family as well in this. I'll shift it a little bit now to, because I don't want to reveal everything in the book in a kind of a way, you know, we want to tease people here with some really great stuff. And this is not just about the soccer career, although that's a big part of it. All right. You were told you were too small as a soccer player. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was always a smaller kid, you know, for my age growing up. I was trying out with the provincial program. They were about to go to under 17 Youth World Cup. They were selecting the team, and I went, I made the last tryouts, and I thought felt very good. I felt very confident that I was going to make the team. And, you know, after the week of training, the coach at the time, you know, they have their assessment with all the players, no different than my own. And we went in to have the meeting with the coach, and he said, you know, he thought I was a fantastic player, had all the abilities, but being the fact that the way Canadians played at that time, a very kick and run style, you know, they wanted the big players, the players that could, you know, physically fight and compete. And he thought I was too small, even though he felt like I had all the skill in the world. And, you know, I was very disappointed at that time in my career, because, you know, I put a lot of energy and effort into making that team. And of course, who doesn't want to represent your country at the Youth World Cup at 15, 16, right? I was one of the younger guys on the team. So my dad was extremely mad, which I get, because, you know, it was a lot of commitment on his part, because a lot of these provincial programs and national team pools were done out far away from our community. So we had to drive like weekends far, an hour, 2 hours away to get to these trainings, you know, and back again all the way home early mornings. So I think it was more so the reasoning why they didn't select me, you know, to say I was good and had ability, but I was too small. But instead of me saying, you know what, I'm done with this, I don't want to, you know, these guys don't know what they're doing, these guys don't get me, it's the system just fighting against kids like me, I use that, and I turn my dad, go, I want to try out again next year. And that's what I did. So I went to the gym, and I got myself as strong as I could, and I tried to give them a product that they couldn't refuse, and thankfully it worked out.
And you're here to tell a story that, believe it or not, Dwayne De Rosario was told he was too small as a soccer player, which we all know that is an old theory. Dwayne De Rosario joining us. The book is called My Life, It Is D-Row. D-Row, you wanted to add something to that?
No, I said, and we look and we can arguably say one of the best players of all time, or at least in this generation, is one of the smallest guys on the field. And that's Messi, right?
Yeah, no question about it. You never look small on the field to me, though. I can assure you that. It's another part of the book that we want to talk about. And I do want to go here into the Houston time period in your career a little bit here, coming here with the San Jose Earthquakes and the way you blossomed in Major League Soccer, and just some of the – I mean, you have some of the most indelible moments, in my opinion, clearly in the history of this league when it comes to – just moments as well as consistency. Just tell me about the 2 years in Houston and the cups and then how you left, because I'm still not sure that people down here understand how you left. There was a lot of confusion. Why are we losing Dwayne De Rosario? And it was positioned in different ways, and I'm not sure the public ever really got it from you how it really happened.
Well, I would tell you what, it wasn't an easy decision at all. Again, a lot of people don't know, in 2007, that same lady that I mentioned that raised me, my parents were going through those difficult times. She raised me. She took care of me and my brothers. She actually was passing that in 2007 during that championship. And that's why when I scored that goal, I was so emotional, because, you know, I just feel a little emotional now telling you. But that's just the connection and bond and the amount of respect.
What was her name, Dwayne? We need to say
Leontine. Leontine D'Souza. So we call her Aunt Lee. So she was sick. She was I'll never forget, we were preparing for the semifinals against, I think it was Kansas City, going into the finals. I can't remember who we were playing at home. And my brother called me crying. He was really emotional. He's telling me, you know, aunt, like she's losing her mind. I go, what are you talking about? Like, he goes, cause she had a great relationship with me. Right. So he figured if anyone could talk to her and maybe something might spark something, would be me. So when I got on the phone, I remember I was getting ready for training and I was talking to her, and I could clearly see that something just was off. Completely, like, she kept repeating herself. She kept calling me my other brother's name. She called me my dad's name, and I was really nervous. I was really scared. So you know, I went back to Toronto's, you know, saw her for a bit, and then I knew, realized that, you know, she probably doesn't have a lot of time left. And that was the 2007 road to that MLS Cup. So she passed away. And then, of course, seeing 2007, was it 2007? Was it 2007? Yeah, the second MLS Cup.
Yep, DC. You scored. Yeah. You scored the great header, the flash and that, header from Brad.
And that was the first season with Toronto FC got launched, right? Inaugural season. So seeing all that unfolding, and it was just, you know, I've always wanted to give back to my hometown and you know, create something special for them. And, you know, 2008. We had a good year. We had a decent year, but not the Houston Dynamo year that we normally had. And, you know, 2007, after that goal, I asked the organization to see if they would, you know, give me a better contract, because I wanted to stay, really. I wanted to stay, and I wanted them to support me. But at that time, they weren't willing to make that step forward. And at the same time, TFC reached out to me and was like, Diego, you know what? We really would awesome for you to be come home and to welcome you back. I go, well, it's tough because, you know, back-to-back championships, and, you know, 2008 was more of like, you know, to go three times is kind of...
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. That was the rare shot at going three in a row. And I think there's still people that believe if you didn't leave, there would have been a third straight title.
Yeah, and it was... It was a really tough decision, but I think with everything and encompassing everything I mentioned, where I was going through with my family and personally and trying to negotiate, all of it came to a head where I just had to make a decision that I felt that was best for my, not only myself, but for my family and what I really wanted. You know, I really wanted to go back and help build soccer in, because every time I played, every time I stepped on the field, It was a challenge for me being Canadian, right? Being Toronto. I just felt, even MLS, I just felt like I never got the respect that I deserved because I was Canadian. And I get it, because I'm hard to market, but the numbers were speaking for itself. But, you know, I'm then watching, you know, all these other guys, Central America, South Americans coming in and making good money. And I'm like, man, they haven't even proved themselves in the league yet. You know, and here I am, backed every year, putting up numbers and doing what I thought was arguably good enough to get that kind of compensation. It just always had to be a constant battle, a constant fight behind closed doors. And, you know, it was tough too, because me and Dominic had a great relationship. Me and the coach, Bruce Morgan, I mean, the staff, everybody, you know, we, the coaching staff, we all had a fantastic relationship, and it was tough to leave. And the rest is in the book.